Turn to the person beside you, front around you, maybe in front of you or behind you. Look them right in the eyeballs and say these words. Even when we disagree.
Even when we disagree.
I will choose.
I will choose.
To believe the best about you.
To believe the best about you.
Even though I'm right. Don't say the last part. Well, you have double trouble today. So, one of our next door neighbors is a hairstylist. And we've lived beside her for, well over a decade now. And I want to let you know that there has never been one occasion where when her schedule or appointment book is full, anybody's wandered over to our house. We're just right next door. They've never wandered over for a quick...
Actually, one time, somebody actually just walked in the front door, but they thought it was her house.
Okay.
They weren't looking for me to cut their hair.
Right. And that's my point. So only one time someone wandered in, but really no one's ever wandered into our house looking for a quick cut and color because her appointment book is busy. And the reason is something that we all understand why, and it is this, is we're formed by practices, not by proximity. Like if you live next to a surgeon, God bless you. If you've had a barbecue with said surgeon, God bless you. That doesn't mean when I have a problem, I want you to do surgery. Because you're not formed by proximity. You're formed by practices. And here's why this is important. I don't want you to hear today from the perspective of you're not doing it right. I don't want you to hear it through those lenses, through that lens. But what I want you to hear it through the lens of is, Holy Spirit, is there something different that I need to do when I'm with others in order to step into all that you have for me? And so proximity, when it comes to community, which is what we're talking about for these next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, starting last week, is an essential place to begin, but right practices are best. And following the example of Jesus is always the right practice. How many of you know that we can do church things or we can do Jesus things, but Jesus things should be church things? And so the truth is, let's say you and I are facing any type of circumstance. How many of you know that worry is a practice? And so is prayer. They're both practices. So it's not just practice makes perfect. It's the right practice that we want to engage. And the right practice is following Jesus. As I've already mentioned, we're not just formed by being near others. We are formed by following Jesus together. And so for community, proximity, it's a great start. If you're here or you're online, this is an excellent start. But there are practices that we need to engage to become more like Jesus, because we should never confuse proximity with formation or attendance for apprenticeship. We can be present in church. How many of you are here? How some of you don't raise your hand at that moment? God bless you. Like it's the modicum of effort. There we go. We can be present in church, but it's not the same thing as being the body of Christ together. It's different.
Yeah, it's so true. And as Pastor Jason shared with us last week, you know, as Jesus began to teach about what it means to bring heaven on earth, this message that he came to bring to the disciples, he started with 12. And he started with 12 very ordinary people. Ordinary people like you and like me. They were not scholars. Many would say they were not even professionally successful. They were just ordinary, everyday people. And Mark 3:14 says he appointed 12 so that they might be with him and he might send them out. Interesting that the purpose for the 12 is that so that he might be with him, so that Jesus might spend time with them and be with them. Why? So that he could then send them out. You see, Jesus didn't only give lectures and information about salvation and reconciliation with God, this beautiful gospel that we all have come to hear about and come to receive. He actually lived with these disciples. He ate with them. He spent time with them. Because Jesus knew that this message that he came to bring, could not be lived out alone. He did, and they watched. And then they did, and he guided them, and he shaped them, and he helped to form them, and he brought correction to them. And finally, he left, and he went back to be with his Father, and the Holy Spirit came, and he said, now it's your turn to go out into all the world. In the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, it's now time for you to go out into the world and do what I showed you to do. You see, those who followed Jesus, they lived in proximity with Jesus. They watched how he lived. They watched how he ministered. They learned from him. But the gold of their purpose did not show up until they began to practice the things that Jesus modeled for them. And that is exactly the same for you and me today. The gold of our purpose doesn't show up until we actually start to take steps of faith and begin to practice what it is that we're learning in the scriptures, what we're learning from each other. Because community is actually a spiritual discipline, just like Bible reading and prayer and so many of the other spiritual disciplines. And it requires practice to become disciplined at it. Jesus invites us into these shared rhythms and these repeated practices to position us to be transformed by him, to be becoming more like him. Because formation begins by being with Jesus and being with his people. Now, how many would say with me today that you like being with Jesus, but we don't always like being with his people? Isn't that true? We don't always like being with his people.
Amen.
No hugs at the door, right?
No hugs at the door.
In fact, almost all of the spiritual disciplines that God has given us for how we are to walk out this faith, they actually need to be practiced with people. I can't think of any, maybe with the exception of solitude. How many like the spiritual discipline of solitude? Come on, I know there's some of you out there.
They're not here.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. But all the spiritual disciplines require us to practice them with intention with people. Now, I want to give you a practical example of the spiritual discipline of community. If you want to practice the spiritual discipline of community, you cannot just, like Pastor Jason just said, put yourself in proximity with people. Now, it is a great first step. It is great that you are here. You are in proximity with people. But just because you are here doesn't necessarily mean that you're being formed in community. You have to actually take steps like initiating, like taking a risk, like stepping out, like taking a risk to be vulnerable and to share. My daughter, Emma, she set a goal a few months ago for herself. She said, I want more community. I want to actually put myself out there and create some space for deeper relationships and more community in my life. And so she did a couple of things intentionally. And I honestly have been impressed as I've watched her be intentional about this. The first thing she did was her friend is here actually, sitting in the front row. They started a Bible study. They gathered a group of friends together, people that they wanted to get to know a little bit better, and they picked a study, and they gather, and they meet together. Another thing she did is she got invited to this book club, and so she's with this group of girlfriends, and they read a book on their own, and then they get together and they talk about it. She's also had this growing interest in music, and so she's gathered another group of people to go and watch local bands as she's just exploring this interest. And so it's been really, really neat and beautiful to see her intentionality in this space as she set this goal for herself to make some new friends, to grow in relationship with other people around shared interest. And since she's been a little girl, she's had this ability to gather people together. I remember when she was 6 years old, she said to us, "Mom, I invited my friend to church." And we said, "Oh, okay, sure. Who is it?" And it was a boy. And we were like, "Oh, okay." Never met the parents, didn't know the child. We had the address. We picked this boy up and brought him to church at 6 years old. And she's been doing that since she's been little.
Not picking up boys.
No, but like... Bringing people to church, gathering people. This is part of how she cultivates community.
She's been doing it since she's been...
Poor Emma. Now, cultivating community is not going to look like that for
Amen.
Every single one of us. Absolutely. It can start with just one person being intentional. And you know, as I look around the room today, as I see each and every one of you that are here, I'm making an assumption that you are here because you want to be formed to be more like Jesus, and you want to do it with other people. Because you could take in a sermon online, you can also even grow to some extent, and you can become more like Jesus to some extent on your own, but you cannot be around God's people. You cannot grow from God's people on your own. You just can't. You have to put yourself first in proximity with others and then be intentional to cultivate community. You see, after Jesus left the disciples and he went back to heaven to be with the Father, and the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh, we see through the Spirit that they understood what Jesus had sent them to do. As people heard the good news of Jesus, they also started to follow him. And we see in the book of Acts chapter 2 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I want you to say teaching.
Teaching.
And the fellowship, say fellowship.
Two fellows in a ship.
To the breaking of bread, say breaking of bread.
Breaking of bread.
And the prayers, say prayers.
Prayers.
And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. And so when I hear that word devoted to teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, it reminds me that we actually have to be committed to walking these things out. Now, when I think of that word devoted, even as it pertains to a husband and wife, my mind thinks of loyalty and service and having attention to detail, being committed, loving sacrificially, learning and understanding more about your spouse. And it's not just about proximity, it's about practice. And so for Jason and I, we actually do spend a lot of time together.
A lot.
We work together, we drive together, we live together, we even share a room. We spend a lot of time together. And I feel very blessed to be able to say that Jason is actually my best friend, and we would first choose to spend time with each other. And I don't take that for granted. I really don't. I don't take that for granted. That's something that we know is...
Ditto.
That we know is very, very special. But recently, Jason and I actually noticed something, we realized something, that even though we're in a lot of proximity to each other, proximity doesn't necessarily create intimacy, attention to detail, or even a quality connection. Even though we're 100% committed to each other and we're very secure in that, somewhere along the way we've realized that proximity is not actually enough. We actually have to be intentional to practice the acts that cultivate the kind of marriage that we want to have. And we've noticed that we need to do this much more intentionally. Proximity wasn't enough. And together, you know, we're called to be devoted to knowing God through His Word and by His Spirit. And that's a vital component to our devotion. And sometimes I think that when it comes to community, we can push back because it's more comfortable just to read our Bibles on our own than maybe log into HeartStrong and doing it with other people. It's a lot easier just to take in content on our own, maybe listening to a podcast, but we're actually called to flesh out our devotion to God with other people. And the reality is that community is contested space in your life. The Holy Spirit is continually inviting you again and again to create spaces for community and connection. But your spiritual enemy wants you in isolation because he knows that if he can get you alone, if he can get you walking out your faith alone, it is very likely that he can take you out somewhere along the way. There's a reason why every time it's time to go to small group, it feels almost impossible to get there. Everything seems to be working against you. There's a reason why on Saturday night, for whatever reason, it's the only night of the week that you stay up extra late, and it makes it extra hard for you to get there in the morning. These are contested spaces, but actually there's no excuses because we have a 12:45 service. So listen, if you stay up late on Saturday, there's no excuses here. There really, really isn't.
None.
12:45. But there is this still small voice that kind of lulls us into living our faith in private. And I understand faith is a very personal thing, but it is not meant to be lived out in private. It's designed to be shared and worked out in community with each other. And so as Pastor Jason continues with the message, I do just want to take a moment to honor you for being here in the room today. I want to honor you if you've been coming every week for 1 month, or if you've been coming every week for 1 year, or if you've been coming every week for 10 years, or every week for a lifetime. I honor you because you are valuing the practice of living out your faith in community with each other. You are the church. We are the church. We are the church that Jesus is building, and I honor you for being here today.
Yes, absolutely. I didn't know what y'all wanted to do. Well, a favorite articulation of mine that best describes what growing in community feels like, and if you've ever been a part of any type of group or community, you'll know this as soon as I begin to articulate or to describe it, is from Dr. Scott Peck. And he describes how growing alongside other followers of Jesus, that there are these stages that we go through. And the first one is called pseudo-community. And that is when your group just begins and everybody shows up and maybe they're excited or a bit apprehensive, but unless they have, you know, a long journey to go on emotional health, which can be true, most people show up to a group and they're on their best behavior. In other words, they don't walk through the doors and they just let everything out. I mean, sometimes we do if we're going through a really hard time, but we're kind of guarded a little bit and we're trying to see if it's a safe place. We don't tell each other who we voted for yet on week one. Like, we just keep all this stuff in. We hold it in, and it's called pseudo-community. And then as we're together for a little bit of time, we enter this phase called chaos. And you know what the chaos phase is? It's this. I'm gonna let you get to know the real me. I'm gonna let you see behind the curtain a little bit. So rather than just nod my head and politely go, oh, I'm gonna tell you what I really think. And all of a sudden, the more you begin to grow in community, it starts off feeling very superficial. And then when it actually gets to a real place, it feels like it's breaking. It begins to feel like if you take this and you lay it over how Jesus is with the disciples, you begin to see this. We begin to see things, and chaos is where we begin to realize, oh, we're really, really different. Again, in our relationship, it began with, we could not be more the same. The only thing we shared in common at the beginning was a shared interest in one another. That's what we had in common. But the longer we've been together, we are different in every way. You're like, it's not possible for you to be different in every way. Every way. If we walk out of this church today and we drive somewhere, Lori and I will have a different idea on how to get there. Now I'll go her way because I value peace. I don't really care how we get there. I do. I care inside. But how many of you know, at the beginning, it's like, oh, you're perfect. You're perfect. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, you're not perfect. The same happens in relationship. The same happens for churches. People come in week one and they're like, this is the best church I've ever been at. And I'm like, oh, just stick around for a few weeks. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know. And can I hug you? You get out. Strike one. Right? Chaos. We begin to be honest with each other and we're like, oh, okay. But you know what begins to happen? Is if you can push through chaos and you can get to a place of emptiness. Emptiness isn't describing what's in our brains or our hearts. Emptiness is, how do I die to myself in this group? How do I die? Like, maybe I don't have to be right every single week, or maybe I don't have to have the answer every single week, or maybe it doesn't always have to go my way. Maybe I'm not here to impart or to teach. Maybe I'm here this week to pray for you, to encourage. How do I die to myself this week? Lord, how are you using this group of people to help me become more like Jesus? There's this place of emptiness. And you know what happens? When you and I stop trying to fix one another, guess what? We give room for the Holy Spirit to fix us. We give room for the Holy Spirit to do what only the Spirit can do in our hearts and lives. And he begins to move. And then all of a sudden, you begin to enter in this place of true community. You know, Christ following community is where the goal is no longer to make you more like me, or for you, for me to become more like you. But in true community, what begins to happen by a work of the Spirit. And can I just say this, church? When it comes to community, the Christian church, we have the most unfair competitive advantage in the world. We have the Holy Spirit of God who dwells on the inside of us, who's actively at work to do these things. When you and I, it's no longer you become more like me or I become more like you, but together we become more like Jesus, remarkable things begin to happen. You know, it's really important as you read your Bible, as I read my Bible, that we do what Jesus did. But sometimes it's really wise to pay attention to how he did what he did. That's where some wisdom can be found. So what? Jesus read scripture. But more than reading scripture, you know what? He didn't just read it. He relied on it. And he taught his followers to do the same. So you can get together as a small group and you can read scripture. That's really good. That's really good to do a Bible study. You know what's even greater? Beginning to rely on it and teach one another how to trust. How did you trust God's word this week? What did that look like in your story? Hey, James Morrison or Preston Morris says this, and I agree with him. We are people of the pillar. In other words, like you look at the book of Acts, or the book of Exodus, excuse me, when the Holy Spirit, or when the Lord showed up in a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, when it moved, guess what? They moved. Can I tell you, when it comes to community, the Spirit is moving different in 2026 than he did in 2019. Small groups are no longer great because you get together and talk about a study. Small groups are great when you practice becoming like Jesus together. We don't only need each other's opinions. We need each other's encouragement, prayer, exhortation, but also, how are you following Jesus? Jesus ate meals and he shared his life with people. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. But you know what else he did when he was eating with tax collectors and sinners? He was eating a meal and he was saying, Father, are you doing anything in this room that you want me to do? People read that and they're like, oh, I get to go to restaurants because Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners. Yeah. But he was on mission, doing what the Father was doing. So I think it's great that we get together and have meals, but in it, I think it's great together we can have church. But together, right now in this room, let's all be praying, Lord, is there something you want me to do today? Is there someone you want me to encourage? Is there someone you want me to give a few bucks to? Is there someone that you want me to pray for? Even, I don't have to go over and pray for them. I can just see them across the room and the Holy Spirit can burden you. Begin to pray for them right now. Lord, what are they going through? Not your business. Just begin to carry them to Jesus. Because when two or more are gathered, he's here. And the last thing I would say is prayer. The only recorded question were the disciples. The 12 ordinary men that Pastor Lori mentioned that Jesus gathered, the disciples, they've been praying their whole lives. It's in their culture and tradition. But they watch Jesus pray, and it's the only recorded question that they ask him. Could you teach us how to do that? In other words, they see Jesus pray. They've prayed their whole lives. As Jewish men, they've prayed their whole lives. They watch Jesus pray, and they, how do you do that? They see the difference. And so we can read the Bible, we can do life together, and we can pray, but there are deeper ways that you and I need to follow Jesus in these things that make a difference. Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16 says, we're to speak the truth in love. Turn to the person beside you and say, don't forget the in love part. Listen. You can speak truth to me and be right in what you're saying, but completely wrong in your motive. And when you're wrong in your motive, even if you're right what you're saying, I usually can't receive the right that you're giving. We can feel this. Like if our, man, I can't stand that person. I'm just gonna straighten them out. Maybe it's not time to straighten them out until you have love for them. This is what he's saying. Speak the truth in love. Let us grow into every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body fitted and knitted together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by proper working of each individual part. Did you know that you didn't just attend church? You got a part to play today. Yes. It's incredible. And then Hebrews says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. I like how you've been standing the whole time and I've been sitting. I like it. I just want,
I'm leaning though.
Yeah, I lean.
It's a nice.
Nice to meet you. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope that waving, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works.
I like how you thought of that right in the middle of the scripture reading.
I know.
That's really funny.
It's a problem.
Oh my goodness. So as Pastor Jason is saying, we don't only grow. It's reverent to you. We don't only grow by watching, right? Watching is good. Watching is good. It's a good first step. Proximity is good. It's a good first step. It's a part of learning. But we actually grow by engaging. We actually grow by practicing, by doing. I know for myself, I love watching Instagram reels about exercise and recipes, and I love to save all the ones that I like, but watching all the reels about exercise never gets me in shape, ever. It never, ever does. Watching all the recipes never gets the recipes made. Even saving them does not get them made. And so where proximity fails, practicing forms. It forms us as we devote ourselves to the practice of community in time and over time. We become what we repeatedly do and who we consistently walk alongside. We become what we repeatedly do and who we consistently walk alongside. And so it's really, really important for us to pay attention to what we're doing repeatedly. So this is both on the good and the bad, the healthy things and the unhealthy things, the things that are forming us. Are they the things we want to be forming us? Are the things we're consistently doing, the actions we're consistently doing, and the behaviors we're consistently doing forming us to become more like Jesus? And you need to pay attention also to who you're walking alongside. We want to have godly people around us helping us to become more like Jesus. And sometimes I think we complicate this a little bit. Like sometimes I think we are like, I need a mentor. I need someone specifically investing into my spiritual walk. And maybe that is true. And I have nothing against mentorship. I think it's amazing, absolutely amazing. But if you don't, I don't think that that means that you can't grow to become more like Jesus along with other people. It really is sometimes as simple as joining a group, or maybe signing up for the next Rooted, or joining in with HeartStrong, or maybe it's just inviting a friend for a coffee or sharing a meal together. You don't even have to cook the meal. You can just order the meal. You can go out, but these kinds of things.
It's the word of the Lord right there. That's the word of the Lord.
To become more like Jesus. And as we prepare to close today, I want to reiterate three final keys that Pastor Jason just shared for us to consider as we are more intentional to create space for community in our walk with the Lord. And that is scripture, meals, and prayer. These are the words that we pulled out from Acts, the teaching of the word. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the word, to fellowship, to breaking bread together, and prayer. You see, scripture forms and shapes us to be more like Jesus because scripture shapes our thinking. When you study God's word together, powerful things happen, and we need the word of God to remind us that we don't live by the ways of the world. We actually are governed by a different set of instructions. And so Romans reminds us that we're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this happens with the word of God. Meals, they help to shape and form belonging through the breaking of bread and sharing a meal. Because meals actually shape belonging. It's why Jesus so often went and ate with people and sat with people and spent that time. And again, you don't even have to cook the food. You can order something. Eating together is incredibly bonding. The disciples broke bread together every day. Now, I don't know if you know Rick and Judy Green. They attend here. If you've ever been a part of one of our Rooted nights, you've eaten their food, they've cooked, and this is one community practice that they do so well. And I love it. I see it again and again and again. If you've ever received a benevolence meal through the church, it's probably likely come from Rick and Judy. There are so many of you that do this on a continual basis, that make food for people, that share food. And it is a way that we can love Jesus and love each other. And it is such a beautiful thing. Even Laura was saying, our host today, she made food for the prayer team today. Like, this is constantly happening in the community, and it is so beautiful. And I just want to celebrate that today. Prayer forms and shapes us because prayer shapes our dependency on God and others. Do you know what happens when you pray for someone or you receive prayer from someone? It reminds you that you're not alone. It reminds you that you need others and they need you. And it's also a reminder for all of us that we all need God, and that is such a good thing. If you're frustrated about your situation or your circumstance, or you're discouraged or you're overwhelmed, I want to just remind you that's kind of the point, because it helps us to remember that we need God, that we need Him, that our dependency is meant to be completely in Him and on Him. And the last word I want to remind us all, because this is the posture we have to approach all of this in, is humility. Nothing forms and shapes humility as much as confession. And confession is not meant to be a scary thing. In fact, we want to kind of normalize confession. It's one of the things I love so much about HeartStrong. Almost on a daily basis, someone will get on and share a personal confession of something that they want to be free from, and it is so powerful, and it's so humbling, and it's so freeing, and it's so bonding. You see, community isn't just where discipleship happens, it's actually how discipleship happens. And God designed the church to be a place where people don't just attend, but they're actually being formed through practice and engagement, where daily faith is practiced publicly, not just believed privately. And this is the community, this is the church that Jesus is building. And so, two questions, and then I want to pray for you. Are you around people that are helping you become more like Jesus? Are you around people that you are becoming more like Jesus with? And where is the Holy Spirit calling you to deepen your practice of community? I want you just to invite you to reflect on these questions as you just close your eyes for a minute, and I'd love to pray for you. Holy Spirit, would you help each and every one of us to take an intentional step to practice community? Not just sometime in the future, not just as some future goal, but actually today or this week. Would you speak to us about how we can do this? Because as much as sometimes it may not feel, you have actually wired each and every one of us for community. You've wired us to need it, to thrive in it. And so I ask, where there has been wounds from community, that you would bring healing, that you would give us hope and trust that we can find a community of people to walk with, to flesh our faith out with together. Would you place on our hearts, God, what it is that you would have us do intentionally this week, whether it's inviting someone for a meal or praying for someone out loud or reading scripture together and talking about it? Would you give us the courage to take steps to engage, and maybe even when we're rejected, to try again? God, would you forgive us for the times that we have allowed our faith to be something we only practice in private? And would you help us? Would you help us to walk out our faith in community with you, Jesus, and with your people? Help us, Jesus, to grow to become more like you with one another. And we pray this and we ask this in your mighty and your holy name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Laura.